This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, the shark bait has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie bait, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth big, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves though wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round the corner, could that someone be Mac the Knife?
Oh yeah, it could be. Bobby Darin, remember that song? I do. That's from my high school days. I remember that one. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us today, Monday, October the 9th. And boy, there is a lot of news, very tragic news. We'll be talking about it. In a few minutes, Roger Valdez of the Center for Housing Economics will be with us. We're going to talk to him about the slowdown in both buying and building homes. Indeed. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And I'm sure you've heard the tragedy in Israel. At least 800 are now dead from the terrorist attacks there, including at least 9 Americans. So we will be talking all about it during the show. And if you're battling depression, and many of us have gone through that, there is a weapon that you can use that is just as good as medication without the cost. We are going to tell you all about it. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10 at the end of the show, the top 10 most religious countries in the world. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I've never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's located in the Overcash Plaza. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. Please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, for the best in taking care of trees, whether you want to grow plant trees, enhance trees, remove trees, stump grinding, whatever. If it has to do with trees, it's got to be Arbor Life. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, horrible attack in Israel. At least 800 are now dead. And the numbers will only get worse. Attacks from Hamas terrorists. The casualties have continued to mount as the Israeli military regains control of the areas surrounding the Gaza Strip, where the Hamas terrorists apparently came from. Prime Minister Netanyahu has deployed tens of thousands of troops. It's just a horrible situation. At least 9 Americans are dead from the attack, which is being called an unprecedented assault by Hamas terrorists. There have been kidnappings. There have been slaughters of women and children and the elderly. Secretary of State Tony Blinken said yesterday that the U.S. had received reports that Americans had been killed or taken hostage in the assault. President Biden and his administration have yet to clarify whether or how many Americans may have been taken hostage. Qatari mediators are attempting to negotiate with Hamas on hostages. How well that will work will be has yet to be seen. And of course, Iran is being blamed for financing and weaponizing Hamas. They have very sophisticated rockets that they have been shooting off into Israel. And here the Biden administration just dropped off how much? $9 billion to Iran? By the way, those assets are unfrozen. Now, immediately the administration scrambled to say that the $9 billion or $10 billion that they're giving to Iran is only going to be able to be used for certain things. And it has nothing to do with weapons or anything else like that. Well, here's the deal. If they know, as in Iran, if they know that they're getting that much money, can they not divert other money they've already got for weapons and helping terrorist groups like Hamas? So it doesn't look good right now, quite frankly, for the Biden administration's decision. Remember with that prisoner exchange and all that money that we gave Iran? And by the way, as these attacks unfolded on Israel on Saturday, jubilant Hamas terrorists were uploading brutal video clips and showing them. And of course, I think the United Nations, one of the Israeli ambassadors, I'm not sure which one it was showing some of those clips so that people could see just how horrible it is.
You brought up that payment. You remember it wasn't long ago with the Obama administration that there was a, remember the crate full of money that was
suitcases.
Sitting? Yeah, but no crate, the whole big pallet full of money.
Correct.
Because that was money that was
owed. Didn't they fly it into the airport?
Yes, it was money. And Obama said that was money that was owed to them.
Right.
You know how you treat your, how you pay your enemies back? Right there.
Yes.
You give them the number one signal. And with regard, I know the hostage situation that's going on in Israel, right? I mean, in Hamas or Gaza, that Hamas is doing. Mm. That, listen, the Israelis don't play around. They have till tomorrow to get them out, or they're going in, and what I'm told and what I've heard is a complete eradication of Hamas.
Yeah. I think the Israelis, they are not as nice as a lot of...
Yeah, they're not going to play.
You know, they don't play games. They're not going to play games.
They're talking
about totally eradicating the terrorist group.
I believe it's still true today. The only airline that was never hijacked, Israelis. Because they don't play around.
No, they don't.
They don't deal with terrorists. They don't deal with the ghost.
They deal with terrorists. They deal with them very quickly.
But they don't deal with people looking for...
won't negotiate too well.
Exactly.
That's true. Although Qatar, as we said, has become involved in possibly helping them. In the meantime, some House Republicans, are calling for efforts to reinstate Kevin McCarthy as that Speaker of the House because of the growing concerns that a vacant speakership could result in a roadblock to helping Israel here in the United States.
Come
now.
On.
Whether or not that means anything, I don't know. But
money's still flowing in Ukraine.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, aren't we moving our some ships into the Mediterranean area there to or wherever to get a little bit closer to the situation?
We always do that whenever there's some
sort
of crisis.
I'll tell you what, we are very close to a huge conflagration in this world right now. I'll tell you, I am very worried about it. Because think about it, with the situation in Iran, I would not be surprised if Israel has decided to launch an attack on Iran. You know, they've been they are looking for an excuse to get rid of the possibility that Iran will develop a nuclear weapon. And what better time, what better excuse do they have right now than this situation? And if they can show, and I think they can, that Iran is backing Hamas, they may go in and launch an attack on Iran. If they launch an attack on Iran, all bets are off as to what can occur after that.
The thing that keeps me up at night is when we're looking the other way. In other words, if we're focused on what's going on with Israel and the fact that for months now, people, undocumented people, have been flowing in through the border, could be sleeper cells anywhere in our country right now. And when we're caught looking the other way is when they hit you.
Yeah. No, you're right. We cannot let our guard down, especially right now. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Roger Valdez of the Center for Housing Economics will be with us. We are going to talk about the slowdown in both buying and building homes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Monday. We thank you so very much for being with us. We are delighted to have Roger Valdez join us. He is the senior fellow with the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity, and he's also the director of the Center for Housing Economics. He has penned a piece in Forbes magazine, Housing Hesitancy, Are Buyers and Builders Backing Out? Roger, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. And Roger, you are talking about the fact that that the housing situation has become a bit of a struggle. The average American cannot afford to buy a home in, what is it, like 99% of our counties, 575 counties in our country. That sounds pretty foreboding.
Yeah, there was a report that came that was done by a group called ADAM that looks at housing across the country, and they found that, you know, just wages, the gap between wages and what it costs to get a mortgage and buy a home has widened to the point where it's just difficult for people to make that leap into home ownership, and that's true across the country. And it is a problem, and the situation with interest rates is not helping that either.
Indeed, the paychecks are not keeping up with inflation, as you say in your piece, and it makes a median-priced home unaffordable for average workers. You go on to say that perhaps this is the time for state and local governments to cut back on the regulations surrounding homes. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, the one big thing that always stands in the way of housing production, of creating more housing in a housing market, whether it's multifamily, you know, apartments, rentals, or single-family homes, is the barriers to getting into the market that are regulatory. It's hard to build something almost anywhere, but it's more difficult in places, you know, in coastal areas or places that have more people, because it's, you know, there's less land. And so there's already enough challenges for developers and builders to find available land, to get labor, to produce the homes. And when you've got a myriad of rules and regulations and fees and fines and taxes that limit that, then that just slows production. And so when people are out looking, you know, it's the law of supply and demand. There's not enough supply to meet the demand, and prices go up. And so right now we're looking at a situation where we're coming out of a period when people were buying like crazy. Developers and builders were trying to meet that demand. And now that interest rates have started to peak, people are they don't want to move because they don't want to pay those big interest rates. And they also can't get into a home because it's too expensive. And so right now, the best thing we could be doing is looking at ways to the first and second quarter of next year, when things start to slow down, that's the time we need to kind of back off a lot of these rules and regulations that have slowed things down, and really turn off the afterburners in production, so that when recovery does happen, after we go through the next recession, that there won't be a backlog of unmet demand.
Government, local, and state governments realize that? Are they? Do you think they'll be doing that?
No, I mean, they tend to look backward rather than forward. They tend to look at old census data to make their decisions about housing. They don't look at what market folks do, like when a real estate company or someone that's going to build something, they look at jobs, they look at where demand's going to be, what kind of housing people want, and they're looking at the next two or three quarters in the future. Government tends to look backwards, and so the problem is that the most government is looking at a period of time when rents were rising and housing prices were rising, and they're acting that way, and their tendency is to go for things like rent control or to limit things to prevent people from, in their minds, gouging consumers. But the reality is that we're headed for a period of time where demand is going to fall, and we're already seeing prices for, we're already seeing rents fall across the country, and that's going to mean people are going to back off of producing housing. And so, in the kind of cyclical world of real estate, when rents drop, there's less interest in building, and that's the time when you actually need to incentivize more production, because if you produce less when demand rises in the future, you're going to have price problems, and people are going to be complaining about rents going up too much.
We're talking with Roger Valdez. He is the director of the Center for Housing Economics and a senior fellow at the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity, FREOP. Roger, is this just not the domino effect of all of the things that seem to have started with the Biden administration coming in and cutting off the our energy production, which led to higher prices for energy, which meant that every product would have to go up because it's the trucks that are delivering the product that have to raise, you know what I mean? So is this a domino effect that all has now finally hit the housing market as well?
Well, I think a lot of the weird dynamics in the market where you had people still buying homes when interest rates were climbing 4%, 5%, 6%, and 7%, and when people were buying homes in 2021, and you see the full employment out there. All of that, what that inflation is doing is it's having a weird effect on everything. So if you look at where did that come from, it came from all of the money that was released with the Inflation Act and the infrastructure money that was put out, and then going back to the pandemic. And there were trillions of dollars that were dumped on the economy. What that did was there was lots of money flowing around. There still is. That means people have a lot more money to spend. They've got jobs. And so when someone says it's going to be a 7% interest rate on this home, they're going to go in and they're going to buy that anyway. And that has kept prices and kept the market hot and heated for everything. That's why you've seen inflation going crazy. And all that money flowing around out there, it can't last forever. So what's going to happen is you're going to see that start to rationalize at some point, And things are going to go back to the way they were, where people are going to be holding back. And as they hold back, you'll see prices start to fall. People will start losing jobs, and we'll be headed towards that recession. And the question is whether that's going to be a hard recession or it's going to be what they call the soft landing. But you can't pump trillions of dollars into the economy, whether it's for gas, fuel, whatever. Everything's going to get more expensive. And that means there's going to come a reckoning where the prices start to fall, and there's going to be some pain in that economy, and we're going to be faced with a challenge of not you know, people losing jobs rather than having full employment.
Indeed. You know, if we would just allow the free market to work and we wouldn't stick our government fingers into all of these different industries like we do, it would seem to things would work out so much better. But we never learn that.
No, I mean, especially, I think that's especially true in housing. I mean, I always talk about, you know, most people have a cell phone, and cell phones are, even people that are homeless have cell phones. And that's because they're not regulated by local government and by state government. They're pretty much, you know, people can go out and get a very cheap phone and buy a phone card, and boom, they've got access to that technology. But you look at buying a home in this country, and it's impossible for many people to do, because that industry, it's very difficult to build things. Land is expensive, but if you didn't have so much regulation that's different in every single community, I mean, in Florida and Georgia and South North Carolina, all across the country, every town and city has a bunch of different regulations. If you regulated cell phones that way, they'd cost $80,000, $100,000. So,
you're right.
So we need to rethink the way we look at this commodity and change it so that it can get to the customer faster. You'd still have problems with inflation and just like everything else in the economy. But this product is something that's hard to find a substitute. You need a place to live next to your job, next to where you shop. And people struggle with that. And unfortunately, government's response is to make more rules rather than getting out of the way.
Exactly. As you said in your report and here on the show, at some point into order, which is an optimistic scenario, but how long will it be, do you think, before that occurs?
Well, you know, I thought at the end of 2021, by the middle of 2022, we'd start to see some correction. And it didn't happen through 2023. I think there just was so much money flooding the economy that it kind of allowed that heat to go all the way through. And I think by the beginning of next year, middle of next year, you'll start to see that downturn start to happen. People will start to pull back. They'll get more conservative with their spending. People will, you know, we are, like, as I point out in that article, people are canceling their sales or their buying. You know, they're putting money down on a house and then saying, you know what, we're not going to do this. And developers are starting to step back. And so I think you're seeing across the economy, whether it's for, you know, that you know, extra fancy peanut butter or a new home or a new car, people are going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to start to hold back. I'm going to start to hang on to my cash. And that's going to start to telegraph through the economy in the middle of next year. And I think you're going to see that reflected in jobs numbers and everything else.
Indeed. Roger Valdez, thank you so very much for...
No problem. Thanks, sir.
Love to have you back, and hopefully the housing market will be in a little bit better situation the next time we talk.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
All right, sir. Bye-bye, Roger. Roger Valdez. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, of course, we'll be talking about the horrible situation in Israel. But also, if you're battling depression, there is a weapon that you can use that is just as good as medication without the cost, and we're going to tell you all about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I am Paul Malloy. He is Ed Davis, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And, of course, the big news ever since Saturday has been the attack by the Hamas terrorists into Israel from the Gaza Strip, apparently with Iran helping out Hamas. Why in God's name they have done this when they know that Israel is going to, for whatever they are going to do to Israel, and now there's over 800 people, there's probably going to be over 1,000 people dead before this is over with, but some 800 are dead now. You know that Israel is, they're a take-no-prisoners kind of country. And, you know, what do they call it? It's a Pyrrhic victory for Hamas. You know, it'll be short-lived. We've got the Sorace brothers with us. Maybe they can give us a little bit of perspective on what both the United States and maybe Israel should do in the Mideast situation. We have Angelo and Andrew. Angelo, thank you for being here. What do you think about this situation in Israel?
I think Israel should go all the way, take them out. This way they don't have to worry about them anymore.
It's easy.
You declared war, you're going to fight a war, you fight it to win.
But it's
not like we did in Vietnam.
It's easy to say that. Now, Hamas will hunker down with innocent people, and the trick is to get in there and you know, kill the bad guy without killing the good guy, right?
Right, but they're pretty good at doing that.
Okay.
The Israelis are pretty good at doing that. I mean, if you remember on TV, during those Olympics there, when they went after the terrorists, went after
yeah,
the Ukrainians.
In Munich in the 72 Olympics.
Yes. And they're pretty good. Their fighters are very good. And I think they can, you know, granted, people are going to die in a war. They know that. And it's like, you know, I mean, what can you do? You have to defeat them. Maybe they'll do something where they can get the hostages out, but then go all the way and take out Hamas and take over the Gaza Strip again. Don't give it up. Just take it over. Conquered territory, and if people complain about it, well, too bad.
Yeah.
It's war.
Interesting. Andrew, what is your take on this situation, especially with the involvement of Iran? How do you think... First of all, how do you think Israel should proceed? And secondly, should the United States get involved?
Well, I think Joe Biden should give Iran another $6 billion.
Oh, yeah.
So they could do the same thing. But
yeah, we talked about
that. I'll tell you what. What I'm seeing here is the start against America. You got Hamas going after Israel. We have a weak president, let's face it. How much of our arms did we leave in Afghanistan? How many of our arms have we given to Ukraine? How much money have we given Ukraine? We're very weak right now. We're spread way too thin.
Yes, we are.
We're sending an aircraft carrier over to Israel right now. Okay? So we're getting involved there. We're already involved in Ukraine. You're going to see China go after Taiwan.
Well, I was just going to say, we've also got, some military hovering around that whole situation in China and Taiwan as well. So you're right. It seems like we're all over the place. And with a guy like Biden, who I don't think he knows if it's Tuesday or not, we don't have somebody at the helm. I don't think that anybody can feel confidence in.
You know, Paul, you can't even just blame Biden. You have to blame the whole administration. It's the whole administration, Paul, right now that's running this country. Listen, Donald Trump didn't get us into any wars, did he?
No.
4 years. And in 2.5 years here, how many wars we got going on?
What do you think, guys, about the lack of a speaker? We talked about this a little earlier in the show. Do you think the lack of a speaker of the House right now is going to slow down any kind of a response we might have regarding the Israeli war?
It shouldn't happen at all. The president is the commander-in-chief of the military, not the speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
but money appropriated for, let's say, involvement. We're not going to send troops over there. We know that.
Right.
And if any money is to be appropriated for weaponry or whatever else, wouldn't that have to start in the House of Representatives?
Yes, it would.
So we
how much money? How much more money do we have to give away?
Well, that's the question. That's why I'm wondering. Should we turn our back on this situation? Biden stands up there and says he gives a full throated support of Israel. I don't know if that means anything other than words.
You know, Paul, tomorrow Donald Trump is going to Washington to meet in the House of Representatives about the Speaker of the House.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I think you're going to see some action go on with President Trump there.
So he's going to take the bull by the horns there, do you think?
Yeah, that's what I'm understanding.
Well, now, Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Wednesday. It might be Tuesday. It might be tomorrow. The Republicans in the House said that they want to call for a vote. They want to get going, by tomorrow into getting a new speaker.
No, that's why Trump is going there.
So tomorrow. Trump will go there. What do you think he's going to say? Put me in for the time being.
That would be great.
But do you think he can get a half of the House plus one, so that he's got the votes to become a temporary speaker?
Who knows, Paul? Let me tell you something. The country's in turmoil right now. You might find a few scared Democrats right now too.
You think they would vote for Trump?
Paul, you got some scared Democrats. I mean, how many Democrats do you see leaving the Democrat Party right now?
But
the country's in turmoil, Paul. The country's in turmoil. We're on the verge of a world war here.
I do think we're very, getting back to Iran. If Israel, I would not, this might be what would you call it? An opportunity for Israel to take advantage of going after Iran. They wanted to stop Iran from building a nuclear weapon anyway.
Now's the time to do
it. Now they've got an excuse to actually go in there and start taking people out. And
Well,
think about it, Angelo. That could be that could light the fire for a much bigger conflagration.
Well, before World War II started, Hitler started taking over territories, doing this and doing that. I'm sure they were doing their stuff like the terrorists are doing today, And England, at the time, everybody was afraid of Hitler. And the only country that's after Neville Chamberlain, they took him out over, being the Prime Minister of England. That's when England was the only one that stood by France when Hitler started taking it over.
Well, actually, England declared war on Germany when Germany entered Poland.
Entered Poland in September of 1939.
That's when the war started. But think about with Iran. If Israel attacks Iran, and let's say they decide that they're going to take out their nuclear capability somehow, Do you think some of these other Mideast countries will just sit back? And what about some of these other countries as well? You know, besides,
what's Russia going to do?
That's what I'm wondering.
Their hands are tied in Ukraine.
They are.
The rest of the Muslim countries, they can't even hold a candle to the British, to the
Do you think it's a good time for Israel to strike Iran?
Yeah, absolutely. Take out Iran, you know, take them out.
What do you think, Andrew?
Well, Paul, this has been going on for 5,000 years, if I can recall, in the Middle East.
I'll
tell you what, I feel sorry for the Arab nations in the Middle East right now, because when Israel cuts loose, they're going to level them.
Well, not the other nations. You mean like Saudi Arabia?
No.
Well, no. We're talking about Iran.
No. I'm talking about Iran.
Yeah, Iran.
Okay, and right. Look at, you know, you got Lebanon, you got Iran.
See, that's the thing. You got Lebanon, you got all those countries, and you can't, if I was Israel, I wouldn't trust any of those countries.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to level them. Listen,
they can't turn around and level all of the countries in the Mideast. Are you kidding? Are you nuts? What are you talking about?
They're going to level Iran, Paul.
Iran is one. I agree.
They're going to level Iran.
So I go back to my question. If you do that, what about the concern that other countries will step up? And Israel will have all kinds of trouble, and all of a sudden we're moving towards a world war.
Well, we're moving toward that, Paul. There's no question about it. Like I said, I want to see how long it's going to take China. We're so vulnerable right now, it's unbelievable. We're going to send our woke army to take care of things. They should send the admiral there that's in charge of health and human services with his dress on. Maybe he could take care of it.
Yes. Go ahead, Ed. Ed's got a thought.
I just want to say that it's been about 90 degrees here since May, and yesterday a cold front came through. Dropped their temperatures. It's a beautiful 65 degrees out here this morning.
It is nice.
And you guys are just pooping in my cornflakes, for crying out loud. I mean, it's doom and gloom. I mean, I want to go buy a shelter right now.
Well, listen, you want to...
crying out loud. No, I know. I agree.
I know you do.
I just hope... Listen, if I were Israel, I'd be careful not to look the other way. Not be so concentrated on Hamas... Keep Iran in your sights, because
what about
your
Hezbollah
enemy, when
too?
They want to hit you, they hit you when you're looking the other way.
Yeah. You've got the other group, the Hezbollah group, too.
They'll
exactly.
They're
going
to have to, you know, that's another one you got to worry about, right?
It's all over.
And what about Syria?
Syria's reduced to a rubble right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some nuts that are there. I mean, it's just a very dangerous time for that area. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, the thing is, like my brother said, they've been fighting there for well over 5,000 years.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
It's time for it to come to a head. You can't keep stepping on eggshells. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think about some of these groups that are standing up and going, oh, the Palestinians, and oh, they've been stomped on for so long, and now people should not be taking sides with Israel. There's been a lot of backlash both ways regarding this whole situation.
Well, you know what? You're talking about the squad there, Talib?
Well, those people, too. They're pro-Palestine.
Right.
They're pro-Palestine. And then you've got other groups that are running around as well. I mean, what about some demonstration? I think it was in either New York City. They got those counter-demonstrators going on. I'm thinking, you know, this is the wrong time to do something like that, when the obvious hacking to death innocent women and children and elderly people in Israel, and then kidnapping them, and
and the goofy squad there,
yeah,
is supporting what they did. And now the American people should really realize who is in Congress right now and get rid of these people. Vote them out.
Well,
take our country back and get back to what we were.
Those people just look the other way. Remember, those are the same people that said some people did some bad things when it came to the towers.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? We've got enemies, and
I think the whole world should be outraged at what Hamas has done.
They should be, but they won't. They'll be sitting. Everybody's afraid, and the only one that's got the guts to do anything right now is Israel. And I'll be honest with you. I'm glad that Netanyahu is the prime minister in Israel right now.
Mm-hmm. And
he's
I would
a guy that doesn't take prisoners. You know,
yeah. I would like to stay out of this as long as we possibly can, because I don't want that poof in office trying to run things.
He can't get
from point A to point B without tripping.
It's inevitable. No, right now, like my brother said, we're a weak country, and they're going to start taking advantage. And the only thing we can do is fight back as best as we can.
One thing about Israel, they don't necessarily they're not necessarily calling on the U.S. for any kind of real help. They will do it themselves.
They'll handle it, and they're capable of handling it themselves. But then people are going to say, "Well, we got to have a ceasefire. We got to have a ceasefire." No, see, they started it. Let Israel finish it, and that's it. And take over that Gaza Strip. You get the damn Hamas out of there. That's it.
As a matter of fact,
they don't have to worry about anything anymore.
As a matter of fact, as we're talking, is it a headline? Israel fires retaliatory rockets toward Gaza.
Tomorrow's the day. This is what I understand. They're going to put up with this for about another day, try to get the hostages out, and then tomorrow's the day.
Yeah.
And when you use the word eradicate Hamas,
they're going to go
eradicate.
They're going to go out to eradicate them. I think so too.
They should. They very well should. And then if the other ones get inside,
Hezbollah.
Hezbollah. They start, take them out too.
Mm-hmm.
Then if Iran starts rattling sabers, take them out. And this is a good excuse to get rid of their nuclear thing. So we don't have to worry about them. But we're not going to do nothing, right? The United States is like, this guy, we got his Neville Chamberlain all over again, this President Biden. And let Israel take them out. Then we don't have to worry about them anymore. That's it.
Yeah. Guys, it's always a pleasure to be speaking with you. Thanks to both of you for coming on. And let's keep our prayers going for those people over there.
You got it.
Yeah, and you're good. Next time you call us, talk about something serious.
Yeah.
You got it.
It was 40-something.
We'll talk about the cold weather we got.
Next time that you guys call us, this is going to be called the Weather Channel. Yeah. Okay?
50 degrees
here in Rochester. 50 degrees. In Rochester, 50.
I'm bragging about 65 degrees.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
You go.
Okay. All right. Let's take our final break. And when we come back, we promise you we're going to talk about a weapon that you can use to battle depression just as good as medication.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works, and it is. It's nice and cool out. I loved it this morning. I was out walking, enjoying it very much, saw some people running, and that leads me to this. Did you know that running is as effective as medication when it comes to battling depression? This is according to a groundbreaking study that says running is the thing to do. It says, along with boosting a patient's physical fitness, researchers in Amsterdam have determined that roughly the same percentage of people with depression and anxiety experienced improvement after 16 weeks, regardless of whether they were running or taking antidepressants. So you could, it sounds like you could do one or the other.
It's also good for stress relieving.
Yes, it is. Absolutely
your
right.
Your blood pressure's high or whatever.
You know, any kind of exercise is good for stress relief. Yeah. But you're right about that. Now, I like to bike. I walk and I like to bike. I used to run like, I must have run around the world about five times. I had run so much in my life, you know. But now I walk and I also, I bike. It's a stationary bicycle. And you do feel better.
Yeah.
You really do when you're through. It says here, participants either joined a supervised running group 2 to 3 times a week or were prescribed a particular kind of antidepressant medication. Most participants chose exercise, which not only improved their mental health, but also had positive effects on their weight, their waist, their weight, their blood pressure, and their heart function. However, experts did emphasize that simply telling patients to run is not sufficient. More runners dropped out of the study, with only 52% sticking with their running regimen compared to an 82% adherence rate when it came to taking medication. So that's the thing. You got to keep it up. You can't just do it for a little while,
right.
You know. So I think that's pretty interesting.
Mm.
Very interesting, as a matter of fact. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, which I think is a good one, it has to do with the most religious countries in the world. What's going on in the world of sports that we need to talk about?
Nothing locally here. The Bucks were off yesterday.
Yes, they were.
And the Rays pooped.
The Rays pooped out.
Yeah. So
we don't have anybody in the playoffs.
I'm not even watching the playoffs, to tell you the truth. Just disgusted with the whole thing.
I know, but however, we do have hockey starting.
Yeah, that starts tomorrow night, actually, the regular season.
I'm looking forward to that.
But we do have something of interest, especially tonight.
What?
Tonight, make sure you get your Powerball ticket.
Oh.
Because the estimated jackpot, $1.5 billion.
Oh.
And if you're one of those ones that doesn't want that check every year, you know, for 20, 30 years, your one-time payment of $1.5 billion would be about, let's see, I think it's about $750 to $800 million. If you're a solo.
If you want to take a one-time hit.
Yes.
I see.
And taxes and all that.
You know, you have to get yourself a good financial advisor.
The last time it was $1.3 billion. I went and bought it and sat in my car. It sat in my car for 2 days, and I was in line getting a coffee. And I pulled it out, pulled my phone out, looked at the numbers. I got the first one. I got the second one. I got the third one. I got the fourth one.
Oh, no.
And I started to sweat.
Yeah.
And I missed the fifth one in the Powerball.
Wow!
So it was.
Did you get anything from that?
I got $100.
Well, at least
if I've gotten four and the Powerball was $1 million.
Now let me ask you an honest question: if you won Powerball, would you give me any of it?
I would probably. No. Seriously, I would probably dole out to some of my friends. Absolutely.
I know you would. I believe.
I mean, with that, listen. You get $700 million. You can't spend that in your lifetime. You know, and I really don't have a whole lot of family members.
I wouldn't have to beg you to give me some.
Well, I'd have to give you my new phone number, for one thing.
Okay.
I would definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I would definitely give you my new phone number.
I don't want your stinking new phone number. But if I win, I will definitely give you some money.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, Ed, it's time for our top 10. Well, the reason I'm going to give you some money is because you can screw up my show if I don't. Okay, we have the top 10 most religious countries in the world. The Pew Research Center in 2018 identified how religious commitment varies by country and region among people of all age groups. The four standard measures that they surveyed, affiliation with religion, importance of religion in their lives, whether they pray daily, and whether or not they attend a weekly religious service, okay? So here we go. Number 10, Liberia. Liberia is number 10. 100% of their population is affiliated with religion, and 79% attend weekly services, 80% pray daily. Number 9, Afghanistan. 100% religion. Worship attendance is 61%. The rest of them are terrorists, I guess. Percentage of people who pray daily, 96%. Number 8, Indonesia. Indeed. 100% affiliation with religion. 72% attend weekly worship. 84% pray daily. Number 7, Zambia. A lot of these countries are in Africa. 99% affiliation with religion, 86% weekly worship, 78% people who pray daily. Number 6, Mali. 100% affiliation, weekly attendance, 79% people who pray daily, 81%. Number 5, Guinea-Bissau. 100% affiliation, 81% weekly attendance, 83% pray daily. Number 4, Senegal. 100% affiliation, 69% weekly attendance, 88% pray daily. Number 3, back to Africa where we are, Niger. 99% affiliation, 88% weekly attendance, 87% pray daily. Number 2, Djibouti. I've always wondered where that is.
Djibouti?
Good old Djibouti. You've been there.
No.
100% affiliation, 87% weekly attendance, 87% pray daily. And here we go, Ed. You have any? Do you know what continent it might be?
No.
Yeah, you should know what continent.
I don't.
Oh, it's Nigeria.
Nigeria, really?
Yeah, wow. Nigeria. Attendance. Affiliation with religion, 100%. Weekly attendance, 89%. Percentage of people who pray daily, 95%. Perception of religion is very important. In Nigeria, it's 88%. So there you go. A lot of countries in Africa. I think the poorer countries are more involved with religion, quite frankly.
I mean, it's free.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, thank you so very much for being with us. Pray for those people in Israel. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
There is nothing that is wrong in wanting you to stay here with me. I know you've got somewhere to go.